Welcome to the Kill Rock Podcast. This song is by The Long Run and it's called 3 Weeks. I know you like to think that you're always right, but not tonight, no, not tonight. It's just not worth my time. It's just not worth my time. You were just another disappointment.
Disappointment.
Just another promise broken.
A promise broken.
Just another sad excuse. And now I see just what you really are. So don't speak, just listen to me. It's been 3 weeks and I've got nothing left to say. You'll seek, but you'll never find what's missing. Lonely with every passing day. Empty stares are all that's left. No set of actions can erase the anger and frustration constantly coursing through my veins. Myself is all I need.
Welcome back to the Kill Rock Podcast. This is episode 9. We have Dallas Taylor from Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. We had the honor and the ability to go check them out at the Glass House out in Pomona earlier this month. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But we here at the Kill Rock Podcast, we want to thank you guys once again for downloading, for subscribing, for sharing the podcast. Last week, we had 3 episodes. We had, Roy Rodriguez from Day Seeker. We had Aubrey Sitterson from the Straight Shoot Podcast, as well as Mike Murphy from Haste the Day. And it was just a great week. You guys blew up our stats page and whatnot. We want to thank you guys. We want to thank you guys all over the country, all over Canada, all over Mexico, as well as Spain and Brazil for checking out the podcast. It was a lot of work getting 3 episodes out in 3 days. I mean, I was even thinking about, hey, guys, maybe we should take a week off. But no, we have Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. And we need to release this interview. We need you guys to hear it. You know why? Because Dallas is going to get into their ordeal with Warner Brothers, who bought out Ferret a few years back before 4 came out. And we talk about just everything that happened regarding that album. A lot of questions are answered, at least on my part. Why did the album sound so cookie cutter? Why didn't it get the promotion that it got or is supposed to get? You know, a band releasing their 4th album, especially a band that really hit their stride after the third album, when it came to Synchronization, as well as the other successes that that album had. And they had success out of, you know, the first three albums to a certain extent. But why was there not a lot of promotion for four? And Dallas is going to get to that when we get to the interview. He's going to tell us why the album wasn't pushed the way it was supposed to be pushed, as well as some of his acting that he's been doing. And Dallas Taylor is an actor now. I mean, I'm not trying to laugh. It's just crazy. And we talk a lot about that in the interview, and we'll get to that in just one moment. Just want to let you guys know, though, next week we have Garrett Russell from Silent Planet. On this episode with Silent Planet, Garrett is going to drop the full-length album title that they will be releasing, as well as some of the guest vocalists that are going to be on that said album, which is great. I've known Garrett for a while, and they just recently signed a contract to a record label, and they're going to announce that, I feel, in a couple weeks, maybe next week. So stay tuned for that. It's just amazing to see such great musicians, such hardworking musicians, finally get the recognition that they deserve. And so that will be next week here on the Kill Rock Podcast, the hashtag KRP. And if you guys are listening to this, just want to let you guys know you can help out without even giving us a cent. This is how you can help out. You could hit the like button. You could comment and share your feedback with us. You know, after this interview with Dallas, we really want to hear your feedback, because there's so much that he gets into. I know that it's going to cause a discussion, and we want to hear what you guys think about what Dallas had to say about Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, as well as his personal life, as well as everything that goes along with being Dallas Taylor. So comment, like, also share with your friends. If you love this podcast and you know someone that's going to love it just as much, maybe if not more, share with them the Kill Rock Podcast. And tell them to let us know what they think. It's all free. Remember, listen, download, subscribe, repeat at the hashtag KRP. Up next, we have Dallas Taylor from Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. But first, this is their song, Step Up, I'm On It.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Kill Rock Podcast. And right now we have Dallas Taylor from Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, formerly of Under Oath, as well as, I guess you would say, an actor now.
How's it going? Good to be here.
So this whole acting thing, when did that start?
I started really getting into it in October, really pursuing it full time. So,
okay.
Did a few little things before that, but really in October, full time started doing it.
And it's been a while since Maylene has come down to California. What do you say, like maybe three years?
Probably, yeah. Probably 3 years, because last year we just toured up the north, east, and Midwest, and didn't make it over this way. I wish we would have.
Right.
But yeah, it's probably that long. Yeah.
What made you guys decide not to come down here? Was it money, or was it just
the time frame of what we had tour wise? We were only going to be gone for a couple weeks, and so it was like, for all of us, like, to make time off, we didn't have enough time to make it all the way, the trek out to California.
Okay. Yeah.
We were out here last summer doing actually a movie called Cockroaches. Three of the guys from Maylene were, so.
Is that movie released?
Not yet. It's in post-production. I think it'll come out hopefully this fall, we hope.
Okay. Not too bad. Now that you guys are back in Southern California, I guess there's kind of a I had a debate with Brad as to how many gigs compared you played at the Glass House with Chain Reaction. Would you say you played here the most or Chain Reaction?
Whoa. I think it's about even, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because we play... I think it's about even.
Okay.
I would think. Maybe Chain meant more? I don't know.
Because I remember, I've seen you twice at Chain Reaction, one with the Devil Wears Prada, one where you headlined with, I believe, the Chariot. Maybe it wasn't the Chariot. Maybe it was But I know I've seen you guys play here a couple times as well.
Yeah, we played here a good bit too, and then played LA a ton. Every venue pretty much there. Well, not every venue there, but a lot of them.
Well, what would you say is your favorite venue here in Southern California?
The Glass House, probably. I like it a lot, and then I used to like this place called Showcase Theater, I think.
Yeah, and that and Corona, right?
Loved it, yes, and it closed down, but I used to love playing that place. Just so many memories.
I've seen Chasing Victory there twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that place.
And then we got tickets, and it was the night after they broke up.
Really?
Yeah, and there was I think the Showdown was headlining that.
Yes. Well, we were on that tour too then.
Were you?
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't think you guys had that date though.
Maybe?
We might not have. We did a Chasing Victory Showdown tour. That was later. They were still going. Chasing Victory was still young then. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Later time, probably when the Showdown tour with them again. You're right.
I'm sure I've seen you with the Showdown. That whole mono versus stereo originators.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Well, speaking of mono versus stereo, what was the difference when you guys moved from that label to Ferret, which was a pretty sizable label at the time?
They just were able to do a little bit more with us. I love mono versus stereo, though. Still the only label I still receive royalties from.
Really?
Never get royalty from Ferret or Warner. So, mono versus stereo is an awesome label that has always, like, paid their artists. And it's funny, we always joke about it. It's like our first record ever, I still get royalties checks off of. And then none of the other records I've never received one royalty check
really?
Off of. Yep.
The day and age we live in now, it's kind of hard to see a royalty check from anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm owed a pretty good bit off our second record from when Ferret made the merger with Warner, but it's now backtracking, and I've been doing this for 3 years now, backtracking. I've been backtracking royalties off of a Husqvarna, the chainsaw company, used our music in Brazil. We found out about it, got our label on board, got the money, and I still haven't got money from it.
Really?
Yeah, and it was up to, we're the ones that tracked them down, like helped track it down. Like,
wow. And that was through Ferret?
That was through Warner.
Oh, Warner?
Yeah, and I'm still to this day, I think 2 weeks ago, I think I just messaged the guy last week again, and they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to figure out royalties on the second record and third record.
Do you know how much you sold off the second, third, maybe fourth record?
I have no idea now, because we don't get, since we're off of them, we haven't got any of our sound scans, but maybe seconds around 40, maybe 50. Maybe it's 50. Third's around 40, second's around 50. Fourth, I have no idea. That label bombed on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really... Even our A&R there was like, yeah, they bombed your record.
Really?
Yeah, it was like kind of like a known fact. 2 weeks before our record came out, they fired our A&R guy for the record that had been working for it for months.
Wow.
And let him go. No. He had a baby on the way, too. It was right before Thanksgiving, everything. Baby on the way, all that. And just fired him. Told him to pack his stuff up and leave.
Really?
Nice major labels. That's how they work.
Yeah. You got to make the buck somehow, right?
And he's one of our good friends now, so hopefully we'll be able to work something out with him and the new label he's at. But yeah, it's just the bigger people up, you know, the higher powers that be, just tell them, hey, you're firing this person and you're firing this person. It's gonna happen. So our record came out with no one knowing what they were doing with it.
Really?
Because they fired, yeah.
It's a revolving door, the industry.
Oh yeah. But the girl that did take over, she's awesome. She's a good friend of ours, but she just had all the stuff put in her lap that was not her stuff to deal with.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah. The writing style between, I guess, 3 and 4, because you guys have progressed, quite a bit between 1, 2, and 3, but from 3 and 4, it's significantly different. How would you describe the writing part of that album, and how can you compare it to maybe 5?
Well, 4, we were kind of pigeonholed and told we had to go with a new producer, do things differently, or the record wasn't going to get pushed, when it never was pushed anyway. Right. So we were lied to it from the start. So we worked with all different kinds of people. I mean, for almost like 7 months straight, we spent working with different co-writers, different this and that, just to make the label happy. And they didn't do anything. And then we went with our producer, who's a great guy, he's a friend of ours, but he's just a cleaner producer. He doesn't do really heavy vocals that much. So like all our vocals really came out more, a little bit more cleaner, which isn't bad, but I wish it been a little rougher. But the new record will be back to just us not caring about trying to please people and just doing what we want to do. So
it's going to be grittier.
Not, I guess not please people, but yeah, definitely grittier. Please higher powers that be, I guess.
Right. Now, this might be off the record, but Bailey was telling me that there are some suits here on the guest list. Would you describe who they are? Off the record, on the record, whatever you want.
I have no idea. I mean, I recognized one dude that used to be at Roadrunner. I guess he's at Razor and Tie now, but our buddy that we're talking to just left Razor and Tie, which they're a cool label, but there's a new label starting up in America that's amazing, where he left too, but I don't know, man. You're in L.A. and New York, there's always suits. I mean, I used to get, when I was younger, I think 19, I'd be like, oh, it's so exciting now, I could give a... I could care less.
Right.
Like, at all. It's funny. It's like the older you get, like, it's just like, even getting into acting, you know, even when I meet, like, pretty famous actors, just like, hey, what's up? You know, it's like nothing, like, they're just normal people.
Right.
And if what meant to be, what's, you know, is meant to be, like, you know, I'm happy when people are successful, when suits or A&R guys are successful, or, when actors get successful or whatever. But, you know, it's a keeping friendships. You know, one of our friends, I haven't seen him in a while, and I wish he'd come out tonight, but he used to be huge at, I think it was, where was he at? Because he switched labels. I think he might have been at Virgin or Warner or something, but one of the main guys there. And now, you know, he just works for a clothing company. He's like a VP or something. Like, but it's like, so people, you have to just keep your friends, you know? Like I just talked to one of my buddies tonight that, you know, like, was one of the, to me, one of the main guys at Vans. He ran Vans, and I called him late. He was going to come out tonight, but you know, now he's in between. He's looking for new things. But like, he wasn't my friend because he worked at Vans. He's my friend because he's an awesome guy, and that's where, you know, like, I think, like, a lot of, you know, you got to realize it's just all about friendship. It's not about using people, like, or like, oh, this person is this person. You know, I just like making friendships. I could care less, you know, like, and people can tell that, you know, and there'll be long lasting friendships. You know, like. You know, just like that guy at Vans, if this band was in tomorrow, he'd still be my friend, you know, because he cares about me as a person, not me as a musician. And I care about him as a person, not him as a guy that used to, you know, endorse us with shoes, you know. So it's like, it's, I think that's a big thing to, you know, as a person. It's like, you just realize people are people. When you act like that, you become friends with a lot of people rather than like, oh my gosh, this, you know, I'm hanging out with so-and-so, you know, or like, I mean, like, I'm a huge, like, was a huge Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 fan, and like
the original.
Yeah, the second Texas Chainsaw Massacre, though, with, like, you know, Bill Moseley that was playing Chop Top. Mm-hmm. And so I just worked on a movie with him and, like, just hung out with him as a normal guy, you know. We hung out the whole day and talked, and it was just awesome, you know. Like, but it's funny is because I was such a big, like, his character, you know, Otis and Devil. I mean, he just made that character come to life. And, like, we talked about that, but, like, he's a great actor and he's an awesome, but he's just a good dude, you know. And, like, right. I didn't look at him as, like, oh, you're, you know, like, just looked at him as a normal guy, and we had some great conversations. But I think if I was to look at him like, you know, like, I don't know, like, he was something above and beyond, you know, it probably weirded him out, and he probably wouldn't have talked to me that much. But, you know, it was cool, you know. And
you probably wouldn't have been able to act around him either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny. I think he thought I was a redneck, which I am. So I gave him some. He never heard the word horse bath, so I taught him what that was. It's when you. I had fake blood all over me, and I needed to wipe down, but I didn't have a shower, so you just wipe down with, like, wet wipes. And this redneck people just call it a horse bath, because I guess whores at truck stops wipe themselves down and go to the next guy, so he thought it was funny. So, yeah, it was cool. Like, I got to teach him a little bit of redneck slang.
Now, Maylene and Sons of the Disaster, you guys started as a concept band, in a sense, and you guys kind of kept that concept going, am I right?
Yeah, for the most part. I don't know about the fifth record as much as we'll do it, but still the concept lives on. Like, I don't know, like, I'm big into, like, stories and concepts. So, like, I even get into, like, I've been writing a movie screenplay. And
by the way, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, that'd be a hell of a screenplay.
Well, it's kind of based off that, but not at all. It has nothing to do with Maylene, but it still has, it's based off of these brothers that have gone through hell and back, and they don't care where they end up. They're ready to die for their family. So it's kind of, it's based off of that concept of just, like, the Sons of Disaster, like, of just when you're in a group and you're ready to go down swinging, you know, I guess. But, so in the process of that, hopefully that'll come to light one day. But you never know, you know, like, that's what's funny is about life is you'll think some things are, you know, like, there's times where I thought I've had it in the bag, like, the next big thing was going to happen, you know what I mean, like, huge, you know, like, not just small, like, as big as it gets, you know, like, this is going to be the next thing, like, you know, like, this is going to go from a small brand to, like, whatever I'm doing to the, you know, a household name, everybody in their house is going to know what this is, and it flops, and at the time, even all the huge companies underneath, you know, like, all right, this is not going to flop, this is going to be amazing, you know, and you're like, awesome, this is, and it flops, so it's like, you just can't get your hopes up, you know, like, with anything, you know, like, even me acting, you know, they could cut my scenes out, or movies could not ever even come out because the budget fails, or whatever, you know, or even with, you know, whatever, you know, my agents could drop me, whatever, you know, you have, so it's like, you never just count your chickens before they hatch, you just try to make the best out of it. It's hard, though, it is depressing, you know, like, when you, like, think the biggest thing's about to happen, and then it's just like, yeah, we have to call, sorry, you know, you get a phone call a week later, and it's like, this didn't happen, you're like, heart sinks, but I guess I've had that probably happen about 60 times in my life, so,
well, I'm getting used to it. Well, you were telling me about the sync license you guys almost obtained through, the show Swamp People, and they basically just took it?
Yeah, they, at the end, they told us they didn't need it, and then they rewrote their intro to that show. And it sounds almost like one of our songs, Waiting on a Deathbed, that they were buying. So, but that's something small compared to, I mean, like, that's something small to compare. Like, I mean, like, well, there was one time where we thought we had a reality show. And I mean, like, where we thought we had a reality show, like, it was, like, in the works of getting made. And we were talking to the biggest companies, you know, like, I'm glad now because once you're pigeonholed as a reality star, it's hard to actually make it as an actor. It's weird, like, acting community is weird. Like, I don't mention I play in band at all, and Maylene's not to that level where it's, like, big enough where a lot of the casting directors I go in front of, they have no idea.
Right.
So, but if they knew I was an actor, it would hurt me more. Unless, for some reason, the rap community, a lot of those guys are able to make it as actors.
Yeah.
But in the rock community, if you think about it, there is not many guys that are in rock bands that are actors. Flea was in some movies, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, and they'll have guest spots, you know, or like, you know, like Rolling Stone, you know, but
James Taylor and Funny People.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's very, you know, like the singer for Linkin Park was in Saw, I think, one of the Saw movies.
Oh yeah.
But it's not like, it's not something you speak about unless it's, unless when bands have guest spots in a movie, like, you know, like Cannibal Corpse and like the Ace Ventura movie, right, or like Fall Out Boy in that one movie, I forget what it was, but like
Blindside in Skate. Remember that?
Uh-uh.
No, they did. They actually did a whole, like, they did Pit. You remember? Oh, you know Blindside, obviously. Yeah, 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 they did. Yeah. They did Pitiful, and I want to say they did Sleepwalking, and they actually performed it live. Well, it wasn't, obviously, it was recorded, but they were all there.
For what movie?
The movie Skate.
Oh, okay, awesome. Yeah, see, like, but as an actor, like, it's funny, is because I met a buddy from here that's, he acts a lot. He's a pretty big actor. I should have messaged him, too. I think, I forget when I'm in L.A., but he doesn't really mention he's an actor. I mean, a musician that much. And then, like, I'll be on other sets, and we'll get to talk, and they're like, oh, you know, like, they'll look at me like, oh, you play music? I'm like, oh, yeah, I play music. And they're like, I used to be in a band, too, but you only, like, it's like you talk behind, like yeah, hush-hush, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't ever mention it, and you know, like in casting calls, you know, like auditions, like it's just like, you keep that separate, you know.
It's like
it hurts you. It feels like it's weird.
It's like saying you're Canadian in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's different. I'm learning a lot, but I mean, I'm still excited about pursuing acting a lot harder, and then, you know, mainly putting on a new record. Hopefully we'll start recording at the end of this year, next year, and we're going to make sure that happens. So, excited. You know, there's a lot of stuff ahead. It's just a lot of work, you know. It's like, it's one of those things, like, you have to really believe in what you're doing and believe in yourself, even when people around you don't, you know. Like, I just went through a breakup 6 months ago where, you know, a girl, like, she wanted to believe that, you know, like, in what I was doing, but she's Canadian as well. That's funny you think about that. But, I don't think she could force herself to believe that, you know. It was like,
in the American way,
she saw what reality was, you know, like me taking the past year off, you know, and pursuing acting for the first time, you know, and like, and then, you know, the band kind of going down. But now, you know, the band's, within the past few months,
right,
you know, we've started getting a lot of stuff happening for the band that we didn't even go look for. It came to us.
Really?
So even this tour, we didn't go after it. Kind of came to, it fell in our lap.
Right.
So it's weird how things can turn around, you know, but you have to just keep believing in yourself and keep believing what you're doing. That's the hardest thing, is not giving up, because, like, every day I wake up and I'm just like, am I doing, I mean, like, should I just get a normal job? Like, right, this is hard, you know? And even when, like, things, I do make success or in certain areas, like, it's still like, am I supposed, you know, like, it's just, it's a hard thing, you know, like, teeter-tottering, because, like, you know, like, everyone that does a band and tours is a dreamer, you know, or anyone that does anything, you know, like, you doing this right now, you're a dream, you know, you have a dreamer doing pot, you know, whatever. It's like, we're all dreamers. And it gets to that point where it's scary reality is, can I actually make this work, or am I going to flop on my face, you know, like, and I've already put so much, I've put a lot of money into acting. I mean, it takes a lot to put into acting, and like, and it takes a lot to put in this band. So it's like, am I going to flop, or am I going to make it, you know? Is the next Maylene record going to come out? You know, is it gonna do well? Is it gonna be flop like the last one because the label backed up, you know, like, totally didn't support it, you know? But you have to just keep on that pursuit and not give up. And when something fails, you just keep right on it, you know? And it's a scary, scary life to live. But I think that's like, you know, me and I guess I won't say, but my ex-wife, she doesn't quite, I guess, well, my son, she doesn't, you know, we have different ways on, you know, like, she's a really good mom, and she's, you know, she's awesome. But we have different ideas on, I guess, you know, things I want to put in my son's brain, you know, where she's all about stability. You get a job, you work.
Right.
I'm all about telling my son to always chase his dreams, you know. No matter if you fail and you're 50 years old and you failed, you tried your hardest, you can at least die a happy man knowing you pursued your dreams.
Right.
And that's a scary thing to say, you know, because, like, and so she's always like, you know, she'll, like, you know, make little comments, well, at least he has a full-time job, you know, yeah. I'm just like, well, yeah, I mean, like, I'm sorry, you know, I got behind on child support, you know, and I, you know, because I wasn't working, or, you know, like, I pursued this, and I, you know, and it flopped, and I lost money there, you know, and, but that's my biggest thing to people, is just pursue, you live life once, you know, like, do you want to say you worked, you know, 40 hours a week for your whole life, and you might have made enough to buy a house, and maybe had a pool in the backyard, and in the back of your brain, you always thought, what if I had pursued that dream?
Right.
And me, I'd rather die living out of my car, which I'm not now. I was at the time, though, even on tour. living out of my car, knowing that I showed people that I'm not going to give up my dreams, you know, like, and I believed in it. And even if I fall on my face and I never make it, at least I tried, you know. And people that just give up, you never have that chance. You can't say I tried. You can't say, well, what if? I don't want to die always having that what if. Even my last relationship, you know, like, it ended with her, you know. So it's like it's not a what if on my part, you know. Like, what if his dreams would have came true and he could have supported, you know, like, the Canadian, American, whatever. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter, you know. There's no what ifs in my brain. It's just like, when you believe in something, you go after it. And you go after it full-heartedly with all your heart and you don't give up. And you believe, you know, that God's going to take care of you. And if not, find people friends that you can borrow money from until that dream does come true. But even when we're home, you know, like, I can't stand sitting around. So, like, I'll go to work doing odd jobs. It's funny, it's because a couple of my friends that are still the same dreamers as me have jobs they have at home. Odd jobs too, and so it's weird, we can all kind of collaborate. So when we get home, we're like, oh, okay, we're gonna do, like, you know, like, my buddy's got, like, one of my buddies that's got, like, it's not even a lawn maintenance company, he just does it every 2 weeks as a background. And even he travels so much, so he always gives it to people, but it's always there. So when I'm home, I go do that. Okay. Or I'll do trim work for one of my buddies that's an actor and a musician too, and, like, and he'll take a break from that and send some other people. So it's like, we all have these things where we're just like, I always make ends meet, you know, like, it's always about being a hard worker. But even if I did make tons and tons and tons of money, I can't stand sitting at home just being bored, you know. Like, I like the feeling of doing something on my day every day, you know. And that's not going out and going shopping or sitting by a pool, you know. Like, I like doing work. I love working.
Yeah, it's like the artist's biggest fear is facing reality. It's kind of good, because now you're creating not just the road for Maylene, but you're also creating a second road for yourself. And if, you know, if one flops, then so be it, and the other one could keep going. Or, you know, what if both of them, you know, are fulfilled to the greatest extent?
Yeah, and if they don't, that's fine. You know, it's like, I'm really trying to steal at my son. Like, my son's actually pursuing acting.
How old is he?
He's 8 years old. 8 years old. But he did a TV show that I just did. Worked with Patrick Swayze's brother, Don Swayze, who's actually an amazing, he's just as good as an actor as Patrick was. Really? But Patrick was his older brother, so he was always in his shoes, but amazing, amazing actor. And my son was in that, and my son's been getting, he gets bigger auditions than I do half the time. He just tried out for some new show on NBC called Constantine. He didn't get it, but still, and then he tried out for the remake in Pete and the Magic Dragon. He tried out for really? Pete.
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But just to get the chance to try out for Pete, you know. So it's like, everyone that meets him is like, he's gonna be someone. So maybe my whole goal in life is, you know, is to help touch people's lives at shows, but maybe just to be an influence in my son's life, to let him know he can make his dreams come true,
and that'll be your legacy.
And, you know, like, and if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to do it. Like I never push anything on him. It's all like, Daddy, I want to do this, or can I just, like the other day we were in Atlanta, and he wanted to come sing a song with us, so we did. You know, amazing show, sold out. And I think, if not, it was close to sold, but I think it was sold out. And at the end of the song, he sang them, and he looked at me and goes, Dad, can I stage dive? And he's 8 years old, and I was like, you go right ahead, buddy. So we had all the crowd together, and he stage dove. I wish in my dreams at 8 years old, I would even know what a stage dive was. All I knew was trucks and dirt, you know, like playing my little trucks in the dirt, yeah, and country music. So, like, he definitely has... God has a huge plan for his life. Something great's going to happen in his life. And, like, I think my biggest goal in him is just letting him know that you can pursue your dreams, you know. And even, like, it's weird because, you know, me and his mom differ, you know. So, like, she's more on do this. I'm more of being the dreamer, you know. I think a little outside the box, you know. And she thinks in the box. But she's still an outside thinker, too. But I see where she's coming from, too, you know. But
it's a good mix.
Yeah. But even for the one audition he did, he memorized 4 pages of lines at 8 years old and acted through them all and even knew my lines that I was, you know, going back and forth. And for an eight, I mean, it blew my mind. And he did this all within 40 minutes.
Really?
And we did the self-tape. And it was like, it blew my mind. I was just like, you have a gift. Like, right. I flop on 3 pages of line, you know. Like, it takes me, you know, it takes me a little bit. But, like, he is my best friend. And I think it's the biggest thing that keeps me going is him, you know. Like, it's been hard, actually, as long as I've been apart from him for 2 years, this tour right here. So,
oh, is it really?
Yeah, I was supposed to have him today. I get him every week in the summer, so this is my last week to have him, and I had to give it up. to do this tour. So it's been really hard on me because, like, even like the last night I talked to him, he's like, Dad, it's been a long time since I've seen you, you know? I'm like, when I get back, can we do this and this? And it just like breaks you. And they're like, oh, because like this was, I said, I should be seeing you right now, you know? But I just got to believe I'm out here, you know, trying to make a difference and put positive out in the world and let people know that everyone has a purpose in life. We all do, no matter how hard it gets.
So, Dallas Taylor, what's your purpose in life?
To be real and just let people know that God loves them. And life is not easy. I've had a hard, I mean, like, I almost say I have a hard life because, like, I mean, I have awesome parents and a great family, you know, and, but, you know, from, like, I was always grew up, you know, you get a wife, you get married, you stay married, you know, from going to divorce, you know, and then, you know, going through relationships and things like that to, you know, and then, like, I don't know, like, lately it's been, like, one big thing hits after the other, you know, like, from, like, you know, like, losing bad finances somehow. Well, not really somehow. It's just like, just from some friends messing me over and something else I was doing. But you have to just keep going. You know, it's like everything. There's always going to be hard stuff in life. You know, like, and I know the worst stuff. You know, I know how hard it gets. You know, where you're like sitting in an apartment in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, all your friends used to have. You don't have friends, and you're a recluse now because you don't hang out much. So you're sitting there staring at these walls, going, all right, this is the second week I've been in this apartment cooped up, you know, like besides going out grocery shopping by myself or spending time with my son, you know, I've just gone through a breakup, you know, that was my only happiness is knowing there was someone coming to visit me besides my son. You know, not only happiness, my son makes me so happy, but it's like I want someone to spend the time with, you know, and then not having any money on that. And then out of nowhere, you know, something turns around and it's like out of debt, you know, and then, you know, you meet people to hang out. You know, it's like, it can always be bad in everyone's life. There's always bad things to look at. And you have to just look to the good, too, which is hard a lot of times. I mean, even when it is good, it's hard to look at it when it's, you know, the good things. You know, like,
how long has this tour been?
Since July 24th, I think, 25th. I don't know.
Only a few more dates?
A little over 2 more weeks, I think.
Any plans on touring before maybe getting in the studio again?
Yes, we were... I think, I don't know if we're still doing UK and Europe. There's some weird things with that, but we have that booked, but I don't know, something weird. See, that there's nothing. Something weird's happened with that, so we don't know yet. And then we might do Canada. I don't know if we'll do any more U.S. between this.
See more Canadians?
Yeah, more. We just did Canada, actually, before this tour.
Okay.
So we did a Canada week before this tour, the West Coast. But so I don't know, but we'll probably do some touring before the end of this year, but I don't think it'll be in the States.
Okay. Now, we're talking about a few of your placements. You guys have been placed in Sons of Anarchy. As a big WWE fan myself, and I actually haven't announced that to my podcast. We're a few episodes in. I noticed that you have your own little part as an entrance, entrance music for the Jericho ordeal. Yeah. How'd you get that?
They actually contacted us somehow, and then we were part of the video game, which is funny. It's because my son's just got into wrestling
That's
a lot.
That's right.
And he was talking about how much...
Was this Step Up, or was it just a shock?
Step Up, yeah. And he was like, I love John Cena. I was like, well, there's this commercial with John Cena in it and your dad's music in it. And he's like, no way. Is that a show? To him. And it was for the wrestling game, and they do it just in the game. And he's like, I couldn't believe that. You know, like, yeah. It was funny to him. But, yeah, we kind of did a mashup of... Jericho and Big Show's theme songs and put them together. And, but yeah, we do a lot of placement. I didn't realize, I think even our song Step Up, I think someone told me it was played at the World Series. I might be wrong, but
it was, I think that was a song that was in Knucklehead.
Yeah, and then we had two songs in Knucklehead.
Pay Per View as well?
Yeah, Pay Per View. Did a song for that show, Californication, had a Toyota commercial. Bunch of video games I think we've done stuff for, like Tony Hawk Proving Ground. It's just funny. I was just talking to my buddy today. He might start a company where they start doing more product placement for bands and music.
Oh, cool.
And so he might start running a company like that. But
that's someone I would like to meet.
Yeah, he's a great dude. But
I think that's what's great about a lot of these companies that are coming out now is that they're more writer friendly. They're not so much going for the big bucks. Even though, I mean, you need to make money as a company.
Well, see, a lot of times with these, what they do now too is they write generic riffs. They'll have someone just writes generic that sounds like a song they want to use. Mm-hmm. So they say, hey, we don't want to play, you know, we'll hire Maylene, but then we got to pay royalties, and then we got to, you know, pay them however much, you know. Usually it's a set fee. Usually they pay your minimum. And they're like, well, instead of that, we'll hire a dude that can just write a few riffs in this, like, wherever, you know, or some studio. Sound generic, it'll kind of sound like that without vocals, and then, you know, we'll do that. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, we just got, you know, lost to some Joe Schmo out of his...
Are there any other bands that you know that's happened to them?
Yep, I think so. We have a buddy that actually does that. He writes, one of our friends, he came to the show last night. That's what he does, is he writes jingles and things like that for commercials.
Oh, wow.
And shows and stuff, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's cool for him.
It's funny, yeah.
It's kind of like intermingling with the enemy.
Yeah, so.
You're still best friends.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's awesome. So it's funny, yeah, it's just like, that product, you know, and then when you get into bigger artists, it's a lot more money you got to pay out. But I'm big into, I've been writing a script, and, like, there's songs in my head that I know that have to be in it if it ever makes light to film, you know, if it ever makes light to coming out. And I don't care how much money it takes, you know, like this group called the Kingston Trio, that's an older group, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? That song would have to be in something I did. I don't care what I have to pay, you know, it's just like, and there's no gimmick, or there's no, let's try to write something that sounds exactly like it to make it in the movie or whatever, or, you know, whatever, to get around. No, it would have to be that. I mean, that's just like, that's how I am, you know, like, a guy named Dax Riggs, I like a lot of his, like, you know, he's a singer-songwriter, but stuff that I would, like, just visualize, like, when I'm, like, writing something, like, this would have to be in this, you know, like, no matter what it takes, you know, like, Yeah, I don't like the going around it trying to make something generic out of something that was originally created from the heart. So,
and so you basically just told me that music inspires your screenwriting.
Major, huge way.
Really? Would you say it's kind of the opposite for your actual music? Maybe screenwriting, or maybe like actual movies inspire your music, or just life itself?
Life itself, and just my crap I deal with in my brain inspires a lot of the lyrics and the music I come up with. Yeah, like.
How do you guys write? Do you just do lyrics, or do you jam out music too?
I used to write music a little bit, but the dudes we play with now, like, they just kick my butt. So, like, back in my old band, I would write some music. And
what old band?
Under Oak.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. I used to write, like, I think I wrote a few guitar parts before, or bass parts. And then I used to be a bass player. That's what I did. And then I, you know, used to play piano and wrote some piano parts for that. And, like, I still come up with melodies or guitar parts in my head, ideas, you know, but... it might make it sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. It just depends. But I need to get more back into playing piano again, and bass and guitar. But I've just been lazy, and I've gotten really rusty. Like, these guys are way more on their game and are doing it constantly. I'm like, yeah, it's been too long for me. So I'll mess around here every once in a while. Me and my son actually write songs on GarageBand on my phone. It's funny.
Yeah, isn't that gnarly? You could use GarageBand on your phone.
Yeah.
How do you think your music from this point on, where do you see your music going? Is it going to be like four? Is it going to be like the first three? Or is it going to be a good combination of everything?
It'll still have some, like, you know, what you would call, I guess, big or catchier songs, you know, like, but for the most part, it's just going to be, we have a lot of stuff to vent out of our brains, I think, that we've gone through for the past years with everything. Personally or whatever, so I think it'll be a lot of us just laying everything out on the table, you know, and like, it'll be, I think, in that way, a lot darker, grittier, southern, not uneasy. I keep portraying to the guy that I think is going to produce the record is just uneasy, not feeling safe, like, right. What did I tell him the other day, even, like almost a guy on his deathbed, like, gasping for his last breath, like, just, like, rushing everything that's within his brain, like, not easy. I want people to hear it or even watch the videos and not feel comfortable, because my life hasn't been comfortable. And that, I think, it's what connects with people. It's like, everyone tries to play comfortable and happiness and like this fake facade. I'm not saying life's all dark, but I want to portray where people see it and they go, this is real. And like, I don't feel comfortable since it's because it hits too close to home. It's funny. Like in that movie, what is it with Robin Williams? I have it. 1 hour photo.
Yeah.
Yes. He says, the character in the movie says, people only take pictures of things they want people to see, not of the stuff they don't want people to see. And that's not reality. You know, like reality, no one, you know, like you don't want to see pictures of a, you know, a couple in a fight, or that couple doesn't want to remember that. And it's like, that's what I want to portray, is like what the, and the good, but I also want to portray, you know, the good parts, but also portray the hard things. You know, like my brother, his wife just died, and she had 6 kids. They were hers before, married before, and her husband went crazy and hurt a couple of the kids. We got put in prison. My brother married her, married for a year and a half. They were together for 4 years, though, and she dies. So now my brother and 6 kids are all over my mom and dad. And it is just hard, hard life. It's hard. It's not good. You know, there's no positive there. The positive is going to come out of it. And there is positive, but, like, that's reality. You know, my brother wanting to not be here anymore because he misses his wife so much and doesn't even have the strength to help out, you know, like to be there for the kids, because mentally he was 40, he's 44 years old. And this funny thing is, I always tell him, you know, I was like, at least you found love. You know, I've never found like true love, someone to stick with me. Like, this was his soulmate. And but he is just so down, you know, and it's like, that's reality, you know, of this hard things that us humans go through. And I kind of want to portray that on the next record, where people watch it and go, dang, you know, like, I remember this bad experience in my life that I've tried to forget. And I think I want to use it as a way for people to help cope, not as a thing to make people more down, but know that you're not alone and you can make it through this. Because, like, no one really talks about the rough stuff. They don't want to cope with it. You cover it up with drink, and you cover it up with even, I do believe God heals it, but a lot of people cover it up with just going to church and sitting in a pew or whatever they may do, or, you know, going partying. You know, church a lot of times is the same thing as a bar. You know, it's just like, it's just something to do to keep your mind off of your reality. And until you really, like, it's funny, is like, what I, you know, I start thinking, like, when I was home alone, sitting in my apartment for weeks straight, just staring at a wall, not talking to anyone, not getting my back patted on by people making me feel good about myself, I was able to face my reality and, you know, and come to grips with who I am. And it was a hard, dark, depressing time, but I realized, like, this is my life, and this is what I have to do, you know, like, whatever, like, and I still deal with that, but I'd rather be like that than I just try to cover up all my problems and go, oh, I don't, you know, like, wash it away, you know, I'll go out and hang out with friends. Even a lot of people are real social butterflies because they can't deal with reality, you know, like, it's funny, you know, we never know what people are going through. It's just all we, you know, and I think very few people actually deal with the hurt they're dealing inside, and everyone has hurt, no matter who you are. I think we all deal with hurt, and I want to portray that, but in a good way, of how to make it through. So,
and the album will be called 5?
I don't know.
You really don't know?
We changed it this time. We thought about changing the last record, and we didn't, but we might do it this time.
Okay. So will there be a new concept to it, or are you going to just kind of, or is the concept kind of up in the air?
It's up in the air. I mean, I've been coming up with, I'm a real visual person, so I already have a bunch of ideas visually for the album. Artwork, videos, feeling, even the feeling of the album, the way the, everything, but I'm a big visual guy, but who knows, that could all change when we hit the studio, so you never know.
And I have 2 more questions, actually. Now that you guys aren't on the label, I'm pretty sure you guys are looking, or at least talking to some.
Yeah.
Do you think Maylene has enough merit to be able to raise money for an album, like through a Kickstarter or anything? Or,
well, people have asked us a lot, and I think we could. We won't do it, though, for some reason.
Okay.
Just not us. Like, I don't know. Like, if we can't do it on our own, like, I don't want to, like, I don't know why. We all talk about it. Like, we've talked about Kickstarter more times than we can think about it. And I even talked about Kickstarter on other projects I've done, like, from, like, you know, writing scripts to whatever. And it's like, I don't know if it's for me or not. I don't know. I've never been won over, but I think it's awesome. But I don't know, you know. I don't know why. I think it's an awesome thing, but we've entertained it just for a second, and then we're like, nope, forget about it. No, we'd rather just wait for something to come along, or work for something, or earn it, or save up money ourselves. I don't know if it's, I don't know why, but I kind of like going the opposite of the Kickstarter route. I guess it's a harder challenge, way harder, because, like, Kickstarter's like, well, we don't have a label, or we don't have this, or, you know, I don't have a backer for this, or I don't have a backer, you know, to fund this. Well, I'll do a Kickstarter. And instead, it's like, you know, I'll figure out ways to do it. Now it's twice as hard, 3 times as hard. I kind of like that for some reason. I like that grief and pain because when it pays off, you're like, whoa, I can't believe that actually came through, you know?
And that's funny because newer bands, they believe the Kickstarter part's hard, but, you know, my viewpoint is if you're in a signed band and you have a following, you know, why are you going to try to take money away from your fans? And especially just giving them gifts. Like, and I know a lot of bands that have done it. And
gifts are crappy gifts, too. I mean, it's like, really? Yeah. $500 or $5,000 for that?
And then the album's crappy, too.
Yeah.
And I think I was telling Brad told me, he was like, you know, you would think that, you know, a lot of the gifts would be returnable if someone doesn't like them, but you can't do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like just doing it yourself. And
who's this right here?
The tall guy?
Playing.
Oh, that's Wilson.
Oh, you sound good.
Awesome, yeah.
Good band.
I thought you were saying that's our buddy John. He used to sing for a band called Sensefield.
Yes, I met him earlier, yeah.
Great dude. That guy I look up to a lot too, man, because that guy is a true DIY guy to heart, and he has been around for many years, and Sensefield, a huge fan of.
I wore out Hide Nothing, too.
Yeah. Oh, Furthest Is Forever, Hide Nothing is my favorite record he ever did, so like... Yeah, best dude ever, and I look up to that guy as a singer. I wish I could be half the singer he actually is. I just fake it and go crazier because he's actually a real entertainer, but he's a real singer. I'd just be more crazy, and he's a giant.
Last question. Where do you think the state of rock and roll is nowadays? Do you think it's dead?
It's on a decline. I think alternative's doing well in indie rock, but I think active rock and rock is on a major hard decline. There's a few bands, but it is, I don't know, it's in a weird position. And
I agree.
Rock is, and heavy metal will always be there, but a lot of this other stuff that's coming out is just like churned in, churned out real fast. Longevity is not something that you have much anymore of any band.
Right. Well, Dallas Taylor, it was great to talk to you. Really appreciate your time. Yeah. Do you have any advice for any up and coming bands?
Work hard. Work, work, work. It takes work. It's not going to be given to you. If it is given to you, you got to work for it still because it's not going to last long.
And we want to thank Dallas for joining us here at the Kill Rock Podcast, the hashtag KRP. It was an amazing show out there at the Glass House. They were touring with He Is Legend, in which their new album, Heavy Fruit, came out, I believe, a few days after we did the interview. As well as this band called Wilson. And Wilson, such a tight, knit band. Very fun to watch. And it was an enjoyable, enjoyable show. Probably the first that I've been to in a really long time. So it was great. And once again, thank you to Bailey, as well as Dallas and Brad and the rest of the guys in Maylene and the Sons of Disaster for letting us just pop right in. Take some of your time. It was fun. So thank you. I think the interview with Dallas and a lot of things that he had to say kind of opens up a lot of questions as to the way the industry kind of kicks around these bands that have been around for a long time, the ones that have their audience already. You know, did Warner Brothers do all they can with Maylene and the Sons of Disaster? I mean, the fact that they're still backtracking on royalties is ridiculous, if you ask me. But, you know, I want to know what you guys think. If you guys have any questions or any comments or anything in regards to what Dallas had to say here on the Kill Rock Podcast, email us. Our email is kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Also, let us know what you think about this show. If you have any suggestions as to what artist we should reach out to, or any type of subject that we haven't touched up on, let us know. Let us know what you think. Even if you have to say that the host is a bogus idiot that doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, your criticism is accepted. So please, you know, email us. Also, keep track of every single episode that we have come out with. Like I said, this is the 9th episode. We have 8 others that are at our killrockpodcast.podomatic.com website, also on iTunes, if you search Kill Rock Podcast. Next week, we have Garrett Russell from Silent Planet. Get ready for that. This is our last song. This is Tiny Hands, Arrivoir, by Silent Planet. Everyone have a good week, and we'll see you next Monday.